Morning, Deuteronomy 10 and verse number 12. You think about here this morning, of course, this is directed toward the children of Israel, right? God's children, God's people, to them. And we're not the children of Israel, as some wrongly preach and teach today. As I've said many times before, it's different. Amen. But these things here that he's talking about still apply to us today here in Deuteronomy 10, 12. And let's begin reading. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you today for everything that you've done. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord. And you've been so good. And we just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for this church that we do have, that we can gather together, dear Lord, to worship and to pray. And dear Lord, freedom that we have to do that today. Dear Lord, there's so many countries in the world where they couldn't do what we're doing right now without the threat, dear Lord, of being arrested, taken to prison, or even, dear Lord, losing their lives. But, dear Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have today in our country still. And, dear Lord, I pray this morning as we open up your word for what you've laid on our heart for this day and this time, this hour, dear Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that you would drive your word into our hearts this morning, dear Lord, into our minds, that, dear Father, you might move in a special way. And, dear Lord, whatever needs to be done in each and every single heart and life that's here this morning, that you would do that in only the way that you can. Dear Lord, if I try to do something my own strength or power, it won't help very much, dear Lord. But, dear Father, if you do it this morning and you give help, dear Lord, you can really give some help that'll last. And, dear Lord, and that'll really meet some needs. And I pray that you do that this morning in each person's heart and life here, no matter what the need is. Thank you for everything that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. The way the Lord led me to this message this morning through different things that happened this week is kind of interesting. A while back, when I was uncertain about, you never know, but anyway, a while back when I was really contemplating my future as far as a job, what am I going to do? I felt like, you know, I might need to change directions and all that type of stuff that most of all y'all know about. When I was doing that, I signed up for a lot of different things out there, and I can't remember the exact name of it. It just left my brain. But anyway, I signed up. I think it was Career Builder. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. CareerBuilder.com. Went on there, signed up, and several other different things that different companies have that I was interested in working at, to where they would send me emails and different things letting me know about all their job openings. And I've still never taken the time to go back online and disconnect all of that. So I still get notifications at least two or three a week from different people and different things. Hey, this job's open here, or these jobs are open there. And this past week I had one pop up on my phone, and I think it was actually 2 weeks ago, and I was looking through my emails on the computer this week, and that's usually when I delete them. I don't delete them on my phone. I wait till I go on the computer and then click each one and then just delete it all at one time. But anyway, as I was on the computer going through some of these things, there was one job on there, and I clicked on it just to see all the details about this job still, just curiosity. And as I was taking, and I'm not going nowhere, but it was just curiosity, and I click on there, and I just look, and I'm going through the job qualifications, amen, and for this job. And I thought it was kind of interesting because it's a management job in a management trainee job, in a grocery store in another chain. Matter of fact, it's Lidl. And as I was looking at some of those job qualifications, it's similar to all the things that Bilo has, but there was one thing that I thought was really unique and interesting, and I told Kelly about this. I meant to write down the exact words to read it to you exactly like it said, that I thought was really interesting for that position. Because I said, well, I'm not sure if I qualify to do that job or not, despite 18 years experience, all these other types of things, and I'm doing now what they're training you to do that, you know, just with a different company. And the job qualification said something to this effect. It said, must be able to distinguish colors 50% of the time at least. I had never seen that before on an application for a management trainee job at a grocery store. And I was very surprised. I said, well, I said, I don't know. 50% of the time, that would be pushing it for me, you know, in certain instances, because I can't tell certain hues and shades of colors and all that type of stuff. Kara can, I thought about this example, because I was thinking about the inside the store work example, but I'll never forget when I went to help with inventory down here one time before I was there. I think this is the first time Kara realized how bad my eyes could be at times, but I was helping count and audit different sections after they do inventory. When they get done, we go back and we spot check certain sections to make sure they're counting stuff right. And we were over there checking in the HBC section, the dollar items. You remember exactly, don't you? Probably just as well as I do. And it was on the bottom shelf. And I was down there, Carol was reading off number so-and-so, you know, and she called out how many it was, and I looked at it, and I said, and I started counting. I said, no, no, that's not right. And I may be getting this backwards, but it's close. I said, no, I said, there's some red in the back of the green. Or either green in the red, black of the red. I don't know which one it was, but anyway, now. But I said, no, there's some green in the back of that red. It was some dishwashing liquid. And she looked down there. She said, no, no, it's all the same. I said, no, it's different. I said, there's a couple in the back. And we didn't like fuss, but we was, you know, going back and forth about it. And so anyway, I got down there and I pulled every one of those things out the shelf, didn't I? I dug all the way to the back of the shelf, pulled them all out, and then reached around and pulled out from where it looked like to me something was hid. Pulled them out, and then I realized once the light got to where I could see it better, guess what? Carol was right and I was wrong. And I said, well, I guess so. But and then I put it back in the shelf and I couldn't tell the difference again. But it took pulling it out to see it. And I was reminded of that this week when I saw that job qualification on there. And I said, you know, you think about today, for all kinds of different jobs, and we've all had all kinds of different jobs, there's different types of qualifications. I think about some of y'all in here and your different jobs that you have or had down through the years. Amen. And each job has different qualifications. I thought about a few just by way of example, and that is, there's a qualification that I think a lifeguard needs to have. Does anybody know what that qualification is? Got to know how to swim. Amen. If you say, well, you know what, I'm going to apply to, if I was to go and say, you know what, I'm going to apply to be a lifeguard, I don't think I'd qualify for that. Y'all know why, right? I can't swim except like a rock. Amen. Straight to the bottom, and that's where I stay. But you think about the fact that, you know, you're a lifeguard, you're going to apply for that job, you better know how to swim. Amen. You better qualify if you want to do that job. I thought about another job. I thought about an electrician. There's an important qualification they need to have, right? Y'all know what it is?
Do wires.
Right, electricity. Something simple.
You need to know the color.
Colors. You better know the colors, right, Brother Tom? You better know the colors. Me and Brother Neil talked about this at one point a while back with some of the lights here. I won't share the part of that story, but you got to tell the colors. Amen. You got it. Everything turned out good. Don't worry. But you got to tell the colors so far anyway. But you got to tell the colors. If you don't know the colors, being an electrician probably is not the right thing for you to do. Amen. You think about, you got to know the color difference. You think about, Brother Brent, I'm going to pick on you for a minute. Brother Brent was a scan coordinator, right? Hung all the tags. There's one qualification immediately I thought about for your job that you better be able to do. You know what it is? What? Dad, I see you shaking your head.
Walk,
there you go. That's a big one. Up and down.
Be fast.
There you go. What was you going to say, Dad?
Numbers, right?
Read. Amen. You've got to be able to read. Amen. If you're going to take and hang all them tags, right, Brother Brent? At least read the numbers, read the words to match it up, to be able to do it. You got to be able to read. If you can't read, you can't do that job. That's not to say anything negative. I know there's some people that, you know, have issues with that. But you've got to be able to read if you're going to do that job. I thought about a stocker. Every stocker's job, even that management job I pulled up. There's one big requirement with that. Y'all know what it is?
Lift.
You got to be able to lift. Most of them say up to 50 pounds. Amen. You got to be able to lift. You got to be able to do that. We could go through all different types of jobs this morning and how for different jobs there's different qualifications, right? I think about several today, different ones require you got to have this much school or this degree in that and all that type of stuff. Karen knows all about that. And you got to have all these different things, right, to meet the job qualifications. The one I always thought was the most interesting on some of these jobs and on a lot of them nowadays is they want this big word, experience. And a lot of them, it's like, how are you going to get experience if you don't give me a chance to get experience? If all these jobs for this require experience. Now, I'm only a genius, but somewhere along the way, somebody has got to take and give you a chance, right, to get some experience before you can qualify and get some experience, right? So you think about the fact that somebody's got to take a chance along the way. But you think about experience is a lot of times a big qualification in a lot of different jobs and areas, and it's always great, of course, to have that experience with whatever it is. But I say all that this morning to say simply this here. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12, we see it said, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" When I seen that, it reminded me kind of a job qualification list. Amen. In other words, that what today does the Lord require of you? What today does the Lord require of me this morning? You think about today simply this, that to be one of the Lord's servants, amen, there is some things that He requires of us, amen, that He wants us to do, that He desires for us to do today if we're going to truly be fulfilling our duty as one of His servants. Let me say this by way of introduction before we get into the message real quickly, that before you can, one of the qualifications before you can be one of the Lord's servants that we're not going to talk necessarily a lot about this morning, but first is you got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen. That's where it all starts. That's where it all begins. You have to be one of His people and His children. Amen. He's talking to Israel here, and they were the chosen people of God. Amen. Today, if you're going to take and be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. You've got to have your sins forgiven. You've got to be, as Jesus told Nicodemus, and we read a couple weeks ago, you must be born again. Amen. For you ever to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what He has for you to do and desires for you to do, you've got to be one of His servants. Amen. You've got to be there. I think about the same thing, right, with any job out there. Amen. If you're going to take and ever do what that job requires, the first thing you got to do is what? Be there. Amen. You got to be a part. Amen. You think about the same things true with God's servants, God's children. If you're going to be one of His servants, you're going to be one of His children, you got to first come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. The world out there will tell you today, well, we're all God's children. And that's a lie. That's not true. That's found nowhere in Scripture. It might sound good, might make you feel good, but it's not true. Amen. It's fake news. Amen. Like we preached about last week. We're not all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. And that's two totally different entire things this morning. The only ones that's God's children is those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That there's been a time, that there's been a place in their life where they realize, as the book of Romans says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit convicted their heart, and they're come to a time and place in their life where they did as Romans 10 and 13 talks about, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. That they called out to Him, asking Him to forgive them of their sins, to come into their heart and life, and to save them. Amen. That's where it all begins this morning, amen, of doing what the Lord requires, is first to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But talking specifically those this morning that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the first thing that the Bible tells us here in verse 12 that the Lord requires of us, it says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord require, Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God." Amen. We talk a lot about this at different points around here, but I believe it's important because so many especially don't even mention it or talk about it nowadays. But yet it's all chopped throughout the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. That the first thing this verse would mention, don't you find it interesting, that God would require of His children and require of His servants long ago and still today, for once we get saved, we need to have a fear of the Lord. Amen. He said the first thing is that you fear the Lord thy God. Amen. The God that saved you, the God that you're serving, the God that is yours, you need to take and fear Him this morning. Amen. That's not talking about being afraid of God striking you down with lightning. That's not talking about being afraid, shivering in your boots, you know, what the Lord may do to you if you don't do this or you do that. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a reverence, amen, a respect, amen, a holy fear. We talk, a lot of times I use the word a healthy fear, amen. In other words, a respect that you have, a reverence that you would have, just like we ought to have concerning our children with their parents, amen. In other words, not I'm afraid of mama and daddy, but I respect them, amen. I love them. I want to please them. I know they have my best interest in the things that they're doing, even though I don't understand why they say the things and want me to do the things they do sometimes. And the fact of fearing the Lord God, we as God's people today, we need to fear Him. I believe, and I've said this countless times, that this is one of the biggest issues we have today amongst believers. That there is very little fear of God anymore. Why do you think today, I think all of us would definitely agree on this part, I believe there's less fear of God out in our world today, I'm just saying in the world in general, than what there's ever been before.
Right.
I wonder why. Because there's less fear of God from God's people. They see us living our lives the way that we do. They see us not fearing God. They see us fearing them and man and what they say and they could do more than fearing God. Caving, giving in, compromising, amen, on different things that we ought to stand strong on, amen, that the Bible says. You think about today as God's people, we need to fear the Lord. We need to fear God. Nobody, you think about hardly anybody fears the Lord anymore. Instead, we take today and we fear men. I thought about two verses of Scripture the Lord brought to my mind. Psalms 118. Psalms 118, if you want to turn with me there. These are two good verses, if you will, of warning, we might say, or things to take heed to when it comes to this thing of the importance of fearing God and not man and not the world and not peer pressure. Amen. So many today give in to peer pressure, and it's so easy to do. And even I know younger people tend to, we say more, and they do to a point. But let's be honest, all of us a lot of times are affected by peer pressure. Amen? Let's be honest. You take and you say, oh, it don't bother me. Well, it may not bother you as bad as some other people, but peer pressure affects all of us. You take and you go out and you try to take and share the gospel and there's a bunch of people around or stand up for the Lord and things and what's right when there's a ton of people and your heart starts beating a little bit faster. There's some fear of people a lot of times that affects us that we don't admit a lot of times, but we ought to be fearing the Lord more than those people and more than those things. Here in Psalms 118 and verse 6, the Bible says this, "The Lord is on my side." Remember that, child of God. "I will not fear what can man do unto me." Amen. I won't fear, he said. Why? Because God's on my side. I won't fear what man can do to me. God is with me. He'll take care of us. Amen. I like the next verse as well. Notice verse 7. "The Lord taketh my part with them that help me." Amen. "Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." I like verse 8. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence," what? "In men." Amen. Trust the Lord. Fear Him. Don't worry about men and what people would say or do. Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs 29, here's another good verse to take heed to concerning fearing man rather than fearing God as we ought to. Proverbs 29 and verse number 25. Proverbs 29, 25, the Bible says here, the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, the Lord inspired him to write these words, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." Y'all know what a snare is, right? We don't use the word snare nowadays. We use another word, a trap. Amen, Brother Neil. A trap. You think about it. That's what the fear of man brings, a snare, a trap that'll take and it'll catch you. Amen. That fear of man will before you know it. It'll have you arrested. It'll have you locked up. Notice the last part of the verse, but here's the opposite. "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be" what? "Safe." Amen. If you put your trust in the Lord, you won't be entrapped by the fear and the things of this world. Instead, you'll be free. Amen. You think about today that we ought to fear the Lord God, not fear man. And the first thing the Lord required there in Deuteronomy that He told His people was fear the Lord thy God. Amen. Fear the Lord thy God. Back in Deuteronomy chapter number 10, the second thing that He said here, I can turn back with me, Deuteronomy chapter number 10, the second thing that He said here was, "But to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all His ways. Amen. You think about today, the second thing that we ought to do, that we're required to do, is to walk in His ways. Amen. Today I ask me and I ask you a simple question. Are we walking in the ways of the Lord? Amen. I thought about, you know, this is a simple words, and a lot of times we mention and talk about things like this, but we don't clearly understand how simple this is. I know it's simple to say, and it's not so simple to do sometimes, right? Walking in the ways of the Lord. If I was to take this morning, I'm not going to do this, but if I was to take and get one of y'all up here this morning, and I was to play an old game that you used to play when you was younger, follow the leader. And I was to take and walk up and down the pews and around the aisles and everything else. If you took and actually did a good job and you followed the leader, then what would you be doing? Following in My ways. You see today that if you're going to take and do what the Lord requires of you, then we are to take and walk along right behind in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's saying here. Follow, to walk in His ways. Amen. To walk, to live our lives in the way that He does this morning. To follow His example. I think about the song in our hymn book that I like. It says, "Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go." Amen. You think about that's walking in the ways of the Lord. Amen. This morning, we ought to fear the Lord thy God, but the second thing we ought to do is walk in His ways. I thought about, and I've said this countless times before, but it's something we need to be reminded of. Today we call ourselves, and the world calls us, if we say we saved or go to church or whatever, they call us Christians. And sometimes we say, well, we're Christians. And I don't have no issue with that. But like I've said many times before, the word Christian means little Christ. Amen. In other words, someone that would do what? Walk in His ways. Amen. You think about today, what does the Lord require of us? To fear the Lord thy God and to walk in His ways. But the third thing He said here in verse number 12 is He said, and to love Him. To love Him. You think about, I don't know about you, but when I read this and I thought about it at first, I said, that's kind of crazy, ain't it? You say you're calling the Bible crazy? No, but I'm saying it's an interesting thought is what I'm trying to say. It's a crazy thought that God would have to take and tell His chosen people, the children of Israel, that He had done all these things for. Donald, you better love me. That's what I require of you. Ain't that kind of crazy? You think that you've even got to tell them that, right? Look at all I've done for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I made you a people from one that was no people. Ain't that what He said in one place? God took and made them as the sand of the seashore and was blessing them and doing the things that He did. And you think about, and He's still got to say, hey, you all love me. How crazy that is. But yet sometimes today you think about in some super nanny, Brother Brent, maybe extreme example since we've been talking about that in Sunday school, that you would have to tell some kid, you know what? You ought to love me as your mom or daddy. You ought to respect me as your mom or your daddy. But don't you have to say that sometimes? That's what the Lord's saying here to His servants. He's saying, hey, you ought to, you need to love me. That's what I require of you. You think about today, how do we love the Lord? Don't answer that so quickly. Do we love the Lord? You remember a time in the Bible, I do, we could take and turn there, where the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, you remember that? He said, lovest thou me? And the first time he said, oh yeah, 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 yeah. And he said, feed my sheep. And then he asked him a second time, and oh yeah, 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 basically. He said it again. And then the third time Jesus asked the question a tad bit differently if you look at the language that it said in originally. In other words, not just do you love me, but do you like me? Are you fond of me? To try to make the point to him that he didn't really love the Lord like he ought to. Yeah, he loved him, but he didn't love him like he should. And I think about today, maybe that's the place we get in a lot of times. Amen. That we do love the Lord, but we need to do as the Lord did with Peter and stop and examine and say, well, how am I living my life? Do I really love him like I ought to? You think about today, he said, love him. The Lord reminded me of a verse of Scripture that I think kind of drives home this point a little bit more. It's Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2, when the Lord was talking here, the angel talking to the church of Ephesus. In Revelation chapter number 2 in verse 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Notice this, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil." They were doing good, amen. Speaking the truth, standing firm. "And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." They were standing for the truth despite those around them that were coming in, trying to lie, trying to get them to go the wrong direction. They didn't believe them, didn't follow them. Verse 3, "And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." They were busy for the Lord, amen. Hadn't labored, hadn't fainted. They were busy serving Him, doing all these things. But notice verse number 4. He says, "Nevertheless." That's like us saying, "Well, except for, but this one thing," right? "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." There's one thing he says. "Because thou hast left thy first love." You think about, he says here, yeah, you're busy. Yeah, you're standing for what's true. Yeah, you're doing what's right. But you've lost the love for me that you once had. I think about today, the verse 5, it says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent." In other words, what he's saying here simply is this: you've been busy serving me, you've been doing good, but you forgot who you're serving. You forgot why you're serving. Your heart has grown cold in your busyness. Amen. You think about today, maybe sometimes in our lives we get so busy doing that we forget who we're doing for. Amen. We forget why we're doing what we're doing. We've all been there. We've all done it. Amen. Go ahead and say amen with me. We've all been there. We've all done it. Amen. We a lot of times forget who we are serving. And Lord, help us not to do that. But we ought to love Him. Here He said, "You've left your first love." Amen. Is there someone today you've left? Maybe your first love. Maybe you used to love the Lord more. Maybe you used to, when you did things for the Lord. Maybe even you're doing some of the same things now. But the desire, the heart's passion, the love for the Lord of why you did those things is not there like it used to be. Instead, it's just, this is what I do, or I know this is what I ought to do. And it's good to do it rather than not to do it, but we ought to do it with the right heart. Amen. With the right love to the Lord like we ought to. And that's what He's telling them here. He says, "I've got somewhat against you. You've left your first love. You've left it." May the Lord help us today not to leave Him, amen, but to love Him as we ought to in our hearts and in our souls. When I see verse 4, I think about this word backsliding, amen. Sometimes we can take and we can backslide on the outside. You say, what do you mean? Somebody can take and everybody can take and say, well, I know they're not right with God. They're backslidden. They're not where they ought to be. Why? Because look at what they're saying. Look at what they're doing. They don't never do these things for the Lord that they used to do anymore. All these types of things. And you might say, well, it's obvious that person's backslidden. But you know what? Sometimes there's people that are backslidden, and guess what? They're sitting on that church pew, and I don't mean no bad intention by that, but I'm just saying they're doing the same things that they always did. But you know what? They're not backslidden on the outside, but guess where they're backslidden? On the inside. In the heart. And that's the way these people was. And the Lord knew that. And it come to the place, and He was saying here in verse 5 and 6, that it's going to come to the place where if you stay like that, eventually that backsliding is going to show up. Where? On the outside. But it all started with that first love. You think about today, love the Lord. But the fourth thing that He said here back in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 13, He used the phrase, "Serve the Lord with all thy heart and soul, and were to keep His commandments and statutes," is what verse 13 talked about. That's the fourth thing today the Lord requires, is to serve Him with all our heart and soul. You think about today, to obey Him, to keep my commandments. I could throw in the verse here that Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Amen. In other words today, simply that we need to love the Lord our God. We need to take and serve Him. I ask you today, how much are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? His servant is required to serve Him. Amen. I think about if you go to a restaurant and you were being a waitress and you were applying for a waitress job, you know what one of the things is you're going to be required to do? Anybody know?
Serve.
You're going to be required to get some drinks and take them to the table. Amen. or you ain't going to last long. You're going to be required to get some food, amen, and to take it out to the table, amen, to serve, to wait on those people. When somebody like me says, I need some extra ranch dressing, please, amen, what are you going to have to do? Go get that ranch dressing, amen. If not, you're not going to last too long, amen. You're going to have a lot of complaints. But you think about the fact you've got to serve. Here the Lord Jesus Christ, He's saying, hey, you need to serve the Lord with all your heart. Keep His commandments. Keep His statutes. Obey. You think about today that our service for the Lord, is it one that is what the Lord requires with all our heart and soul? Or instead, are we taking today and not serving the Lord as we ought? I think about if we're honest today, for most of us, our service for the Lord is sporadic. Some of us maybe more than others. You say, what do you mean? A roller coaster. Amen. Sometimes we take and we serve the Lord, and we're serving the Lord, and we're serving the Lord, and we're doing great, and we're getting closer to Him, getting higher and higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, you know what happens on a roller coaster when you get high to a certain point, right? You're going down at some point. I'm just simply saying that's the way our service is for the Lord a lot of times if we're not careful, right? We'll take, and the next thing you know, we'll be plunging down again. I'm simply saying that's the way our service is for the Lord a lot of times. It's sporadic. In other words, in the day and time that we live in, it's when it's convenient. Amen. We serve the Lord when it fits into our schedule, when it's convenient for us. We go to church when it's convenient for us. Amen. We witness, we share the gospel when it's convenient for us. We give our tithe when there's money in the bank and we can take and give our tithe. Amen. We don't do it but in the way that the Bible says all the time. Amen. Faithfully, with all our heart, with all our soul. You think about today simply the fact that we ought to be taking and living for the Lord, serving Him with all our heart and all our soul, doing what God would have us to do. Amen. You think about today, that would involve being in the house of God. Amen. As much as the doors are open. Why don't we preach that anymore? Anyway, as much as the doors are open, being in the house of God all the time. I think about people that used to go to church all the time. Every service used to be there. And now, well, it's okay. I got this in my life. You don't understand what's going on. You had things back then, amen. If we only showed up and asked you, when is it convenient for you to come to church? That's when we're going to have it. What if we adopted that same idea with the teachings and the other things the Bible says? Okay, well, it's not convenient for you to share the gospel. Okay, you don't have to share the gospel no more. It's not convenient for you. Don't do that anymore. If that's the way we operated, and what people wanted, and what people thought was convenient, and what fit into people's schedules, we would never do nothing. Amen? We wouldn't do nothing nowadays. I ask you a simple question. The Lord prompted my heart about this. We say a lot of times, well, my schedule, you just don't understand. And it may be crazy. We all got crazy schedules, some of us more than others. But I think about this fact today. What about God's schedule anymore? What about God's schedule? Amen. Didn't children and God, people of God long ago have to take that were faithful to God's house and faithful in all these areas that we're talking about? Didn't they make sacrifices? Didn't they say, no, I'm not going to do this so I can do what God wants me to do, or I'm going to sacrifice this so I can be where God wants me to be? Amen. You think about it, I'm simply saying today, we ought to serve the Lord with all our heart. I think a lot of times we've come to the place that we begin to make excuses of why we won't do and be where God wants us to be. It's important for God's people today to do what God would have us to do. And instead we say this, well, God knows, God understands. How many times you heard people say that? You know what? May I say this today honestly but lovingly? You're right. He knows. He knows. He knows. You used to do those things. With the Lord's grace and help, you can still do them now. It might take some change. It might take some adapting. It might take a big word, sacrifice. But you can do it. You can do it. You can still do it for the Lord. You think about today, I think about this verse that the Lord brought to my heart that I think there's several verses that kind of encompass this whole message. But one I thought about was this. The verse that says it's your reasonable service. Amen. Reasonable service. The Lord don't ask of us anything unreasonable when it comes to our service for Him. It's reasonable. He'll help. He'll meet the needs. He'll do what needs to be done. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I like this verse. It's a good verse of Scripture for us all to keep in mind, and it kind of ties together everything in a sense that we talked about this morning. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. The Lord used Solomon, of course, to write the book of Ecclesiastes as well. And he ends the whole book with these words in verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Here he said this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." And this is pretty much the conclusion of the message this morning. Okay? "Fear God." We talked about that. "And keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." Amen? There's what the duty is. There's what the Lord requires of me and you today. I think about, the Lord reminded me of this as well, an example from Scripture. You think about today, what does the Lord desire? What does the Lord require of us? I think about, there was one years ago in the Old Testament, and it was the first king of Israel. Does anybody know who that was?
Saul.
And you remember Saul started off great, right? Like a ball of fire, we'd say today. Great king, did the right things, was doing good. At first you'd think, well, Israel, even though they shouldn't have picked a king, everything's going to turn out hunky-dory, right, Brother Brent? It's going to be okay, right? But then along the way, you begin to see some things happen in Saul's life, and it affected the Israel. You think about it, come to the place in time where after several different things occurred, in 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 through 23, there come a time where God had told through the prophet, had told Samuel, told Saul, excuse me, to take, and when you defeat them, the Amalekites, if my memory is correct, when you defeat them, I want you to take and utterly destroy everything that they have. The sheep, the oxen, the cattle, everything, eradicate it all. Don't take any of it with you. Wipe it all out. Kill it all. Get rid of it. You think that's pretty extreme, and it is, but there was reasons why. We ain't got time to get into this morning. God told him to do that. But instead, Saul, did he obey that? No. You think about, he sat there and said he did his own thing. And he was impatient, waiting on, if you will, the prophet to get there. And what did he do? There comes the prophet up all of a sudden. When the prophet shows up, he takes and he looks and he says, Saul says, "I've done everything God wants me to do." "Well, I've done everything." And he looks at him and he says, "Then why are these bleating of these animals, these cows, these sheep that I hear? Why do I hear this if you've done everything?" He says, "Well, we decided to save the best of the animals to use to sacrifice. And I even spared the king of these people. Agag, I think was his name, if my memory is right. I could be wrong on that. But we've spared him too, and we're going to take care of him." And he looks at him, and he lets him have it, right? He tells him his kingdom's going to be ripped from him in the presence of God and all those types of things. Why? You say, but he had good intentions, right? He was going to take and offer the sacrifice of these things. Yes, but as 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23 says, and I read it to you, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying what? The voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey," here's the famous words, "is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion," and here's some strong words, "is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness," oh boy, don't we have that, "is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." All because he didn't obey what God told him to do. All because he took and he thought, "Well, I'll sacrifice in this area and do this, and it'll be okay even though I'm not doing this." No. You need to do what the Lord requires. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you want God to bless, you need to do first what He requires of you. Amen? You need to obey and do things His way. Amen? And be faithful in these areas and things that we talked about. And serve the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And commandments, keep His commandments, His statutes today. What does the Lord require of us today? May I sum it up in my own words now that I've showed you several verses of Scripture? Simply this. He requires that we love Him and that we do what we ask. We do what He asks. This morning I ask you simply, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you doing what He asks? Are you being faithful? Are you willing to make sacrifices? Is there some areas you need to redo some things in that you haven't been lately, but you need to sacrifice maybe in those areas and do things the way He wants you to do? You think about today, what does the Lord require of you? I want to be found a servant that's faithful. I think about another verse of Scripture that the Lord brought to my mind that I remember especially as a preacher and a pastor that God's called me to be. He says, all that He's required of stewards, and I'm paraphrasing, is to be found faithful. May the Lord help us to be faithful in doing what's required of us.